Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Lori, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Lisa, it's a pleasure to be here. Truly.
How did you first find Organize 365?
So I found you in the summer of 2019. And as my usual system, the house would get to be a little too much and I would kick everyone out of the house and plan on spending the day, you know, just deep diving into it. And I always started in the room that I felt was the easiest, which was my youngest son's room because his clothes were the smallest and it was just the easiest room to start in. I always used to listen to something and I looked for a podcast that had to do with organizing and I found you and I don't remember what episode it was, but all of a sudden, as I'm listening to you, you started to say, whatever you do, don't start your organizing in a child's room. And I thought, wait, what? And it was because you said, if you start in a room that you love or that you're in all the time, the organizing will stick. And it will perpetuate itself. And you were right. I put everything down and I went into the living room.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's pretty quick. So you found the podcast. That's how you found me first.
I found the podcast. Yes. And then I used to commute a couple hours a few times a week. And I really started to really get into it. I mean, I started listening to all of the old ones and, you know, I just was hooked. The podcast were a great way to get in.
So you mentioned you were in your son's bedroom. So you obviously don't live alone. Who lives with you in your house?
So technically, my husband and I have just become empty nesters. However, our two oldest children we have three sons. Our two oldest children have graduated from college. One lives in New York and one lives in Boston. And they come home quite often. So, and they stay for extended periods of time. Our youngest son is a sophomore in high school, but he lives away at a prep school because he is an athlete. So we travel to see him a couple times a week, but he gets extended periods of time off. So a lot of times it's five of us.
And where do you live?
We live in Fayetteville, New York, which is just outside Syracuse.
Okay. So it's all kind of in that like tri-state area, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So it's 4 hours and 5 hours to the older boys and 4 hours to our youngest son.
Okay. Yeah. From Cincinnati, it's like 5-6 hours to Chicago, 5 hours to Nashville, 4 hours to Cleveland. I figure all that's like, you know, if you could drive there in half a day, it's kind of like.
Right. Close. So it's, it works, but they do come home quite a bit, which I love. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't get empty nesting. It skipped me. But that's okay.
That's okay.
I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean,
no, you really
everything's great. How you get it. All right. So you were searching for a podcast and you were in your son's room.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide to start getting organized? Or was this just your thing? Like you're always getting organized. Like what was it that made you do that search?
Well, I would always say, I mean, whenever the chaos, I mean, it became chaos and I just could never get on top of it. I could never get control. Our home is fairly big and, you know, we live in all of it. And so I would always start in Sean's room. It was just because it was one room that I could easily, you know, tackle. So really I would just listen to some, whatever I could get my hands on and that would speak to me. And all of a sudden, you know, I was really looking for organizing for dummies because that's kind of how I felt. And you really just hit the nail on the head. And it's been a system that's been so workable through the entire place.
So you said it was summer of 2019. You found the podcast. You left the child's room. You went into the living room. Mm-hmm. What did you do first?
Well, I always look for the easiest job to tackle so that I feel like I've accomplished something. So I think it was really the family room. You know, I just went through some of the drawers and the cabinets because, you know, it wasn't until I tackled your 100-day program. Can I go into here?
Yeah, sure.
I figured out that really everything needed its own spot. Mm. You know, I was organizing what was in the room, but you can't do it like that. You need to really use the house as kind of a whole thing. Can I jump ahead for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
You always ask, what is the one thing you noticed when you realized you were organized? And for me, it was all the Band-Aids. I had Band-Aids all over the house and all the, you know, the Advil and the Tylenol and the Neosporin and all of those things. And they were everywhere. And so, you know, when I was doing the 100 day and I got to that area, you know, you just keep putting, as you're cleaning out the room, you put everything in one spot. And all of a sudden somebody would say, where's a Band-Aid? And with my eyes closed, I could say, go down the hall, make a right. It's in the cabinet on the right. You know, it's great. It's really been a life-changing experience.
So I've never thought about it. I know exactly how my Band-Aids got out of control. And I remember when they got back in control again. How long have you lived in the house that you live in now?
Just over 10 years.
Okay. So you were not living there when your kids were little. I've lived in the same house the entire time.
No, we've moved a few times and this house is the biggest house we've lived in. And it is a lot of space. I had a cleaning lady, if I could be candid, I had a cleaning lady that came twice a week and I still couldn't get on top of the house was clean, but I still couldn't get on top of the disorganization.
That's interesting. People always think if I had a bigger house, it'd be easier.
No.
So what would you say to that?
I would say there's more places for your stuff. I mean, it's great. Everything really does have a spot, but I also kept filling it up. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until the pandemic when our son from New York came home, our son who's in Boston now was in college. He came home. My mother had moved in with us right before the pandemic because she was being treated for breast cancer. And our son, Sean, got sent home from school. He was working remotely and my husband had to work from home. So we had everybody working from home. Luckily, our internet was strong enough. However, there was no place for me because everyone was on meetings and everyone was, you know, had their own thing. And I had to tiptoe all. I don't have a job outside our home. So I had to pretty much tiptoe everywhere. So I went into the basement and I started to clean that out. And it was then I realized that a bigger house with a bigger basement just gives you more places to put things. Mm-hmm. So I started to clean that out and that was my favorite room to get organized.
Okay, we're going to go into that. I remember when I did the same thing, it would have been 20 years ago, the kids were babies and I would get them to bed or whatever, or it'd be a Saturday afternoon and Greg would say, just go do whatever you want to do. And I would go down into the basement. And the reason why is because nobody cared what I did down there and no one came to find me down there. Like eventually maybe they did. Also, I hid in the laundry room. I would go in the laundry room and I would start the laundry and then I would like putz around in there so I could get like 20 minutes to myself and the sound of the machines drown out like whatever was going on in the house. The desire to be alone in my house is so strong and I never get it. Like other women understand, you just want your house to yourself. That was really a hard part of the pandemic. I had been working at home before the pandemic, but nobody was working there with me. Like I was doing Organize 365 and my momming and my houseworking. And then everybody was all of a sudden working and schooling or whatever with you in your house. I don't think that people who were home before the pandemic are able to articulate it. And other people would never understand why we love being at home by ourselves because it is our work. Like, oh, it is what we do. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, and then all of a sudden they're in your space. They were in my space. And then there was no space for me. So my job was pretty much, I mean, it sounds so silly, but it was pretty much making sure the coffee was out. And I organized our food times, like when the kitchen was open and when the kitchen was closed, because otherwise and dishes all the time. And I mean, I was really, and you know, not for anything, but you kept hearing there's going to be a shortage of this because there's like the management of the supplies in the house to make sure we wouldn't run out of anything. That was daunting. So, you know, and I had to be quiet while I did everything, but it was also honestly fun. like you talk about the golden windows. And for me, that was a huge golden window because my, yes. I got to spend so much time with my older children and my mother was there. So she got to spend time with her grandchildren. And it was really, part of it was a blessing. I hate to say that because it wasn't a blessing for everyone, but the part of it that kept our family close was very nice for me.
I think you can enjoy the blessing of any situation while also realizing that we all need like commuting time, alone time, thinking time, processing time. And everybody lost that during that pandemic. And I think we don't realize how much we use those times and those regular routines to process and decompress and just organize our thoughts alone. So you're escaping down to the basement. Like, I want to hear, what was that like? What did you do? How'd you tackle
it? So it was funny. I took all these post-it notes and I put all the numbers of all the podcasts that I hadn't listened to. And there were tons of them. And I would just put my headphones in and I would just cross them off as I did it. But the first part of the basement I tackled was the holiday decorations, because there were a lot. I put up a lot of trees in our house and there were a lot. So I just started going through those first. And then it was funny, the boys, I mean, because the basement was a mess. And the boys asked if, they were all athletes in college and high school. And they asked if I could make a place for their workout equipment because they were doing home workouts. And, you know, really, there was no place, especially while I was in the middle of it. So I was able to, it was an extra motivation for me to get rid of that whole section done. And then I moved into entertaining supplies and then luggage. And I mean, when it was done, it was beautiful.
So did you organize it like with the Home Depot shelving that I talk about?
Yeah.
The clean bins?
So I ordered all the shelving from, I think I did it from Lowe's because the timeline to get it was quicker. And then I figured out what size bins would fit and I could do three across and, you know, four shelves. And I mean, it was very mathematical. And it, when it was done, I mean, I bought the labels on Amazon with the cards. It's beautiful. And I will say it has, that part has stuck. Not everything always sticks for the amount of time, but once it's done, it's pretty easy to, you know, get back into it.
How much would you say you got rid of?
Oh, well, remember it was the pandemic. So nobody was taking donations.
Right.
I got rid of a dumpster. I had a dumpster brought in and I got rid of an entire dumpster.
Oh my gosh, that is brilliant.
Yeah, I had the dumpster brought in probably when I realized that I had to go to the basement. I had the dumpster brought in and the dumpster was full.
And how long did it take you to do the basement?
I would say it probably took a full 3 weeks. Maybe a little bit more, you know, because it was in between making all the meals and, but yeah, it was probably 3 weeks.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah. Well, I was motivated. And I mean, you know, the thing is like you start finding things. So I got to the cleaning supply section. So I went upstairs and I got all the cleaning supplies and I had cleaning supplies that rivaled a grocery store. I mean, it was so much.
Yeah.
Your program was great for me because it made me realize what I had, because I really didn't know what I had. You know, every bathroom had things and it was great for me. It still is.
Okay. So I just love that because I'm thinking about in the early days of the pandemic, I started my crazy habit of reading every news outlet there was for like 4 or 5 hours a day. I did not get nearly as much accomplished in the beginning of the pandemic that you did. But I would think that you had less stress during that time because you had that physical release and then that community time with your family.
Yes, except a lot of the stress came from the uncertainty. And remember, I live in New York. So we would listen to Governor Cuomo every day at 11 o'clock and you didn't miss it. And, you know, you lived in fear because you didn't know what was next. So I controlled what I could control.
Yes.
And other stuff, probably the anxiety would have bubbled over if I didn't have that little bit of control. So yes, you're right. However, because there was so much uncertainty, you just kind of live by day by day. Yeah. So I would just, whatever that project of the day was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I find often people come to organization or they really go deep in organization when they are trying to process through a big life change.
And until the pandemic, we weren't doing it simultaneously. But whenever I think about when I've really tackled my house or a space, it was because the youngest child is starting school. I'm starting a new business. I'm turning 40. You know, you get married, you have a baby, you get divorced. Like, it's usually these big life events that you're processing through when you do these big organizational purges. But you had started before the pandemic. So you were on your way.
Yeah. So I started with the Sunday basket in the fall of 2019. And I have to say, for me, the Sunday basket, I tend to be an overthinker, and the Sunday basket was not falling into place in the 6 weeks that you promised it would fall into place. It was not 6 weeks. It was taking so long, and I couldn't figure out why it wasn't working. And truly, it became a filing cabinet on the top of my desk. I didn't have it on the kitchen counter. I had like a kitchen office just outside the kitchen. That is where I did all my work. And it just, everything stayed on top. It wasn't until I read your book and that it all started to come into focus for me. And I think that's because I tried very hard to use your labels and your categories.
Oh, yeah.
And when I realized that that wasn't, you know, your stuff was different than mine, and I personalized it, I can't tell you how many little labels I went through, that it stopped being a filing cabinet on the top of my desk and truly was I called it my external brain. Like, it was just a place for me to keep the things I was working on at the time.
And someone else just mentioned that in a recent Wednesday episode as well. There must be something that I changed in how you get, maybe it's because now it's a booklet you get with the Sunday basket that people really think you have to label it exactly the way I do. So was it the paper solution book that you read that made you think differently?
It was the paper. Okay. Yeah, I've read all your books, but the paper solution book, which focused mostly on, it was the paper, is right. What kind of, it snapped it for me. It all came into focus in a way that was going to work for me.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell Monique's team to really give permission every week to make that your own. Because I think that is something that I think when you're trying to implement someone else's system, you think you should do it exactly how they did it. And also, like, I'm really prescriptive in the 100 day, like, today we're going to do the counter and I want you to take everything off and like, right, you follow along. So then you get to the Sunday basket, I'm like, do it your own way. And you're like, no, I think I'll do it exactly how you tell me to do it.
Well, that was it. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times I think there might have been a video and I would do a screenshot and blow it up so I could see your labels. I mean, it was so silly. I can't remember what you said in the book, but it was pretty much you gave us permission to do it the way we needed to do it.
Yes.
You know, you broke it down into much smaller steps than the videos or the instructions in the Sunday basket. But I mean, now I have three. I have one for holiday times. And I have two, one for my, I forget what you call it, phase one or phase two.
Your 1.0s? Mm-hmm.
The 1.0s and the 2.0s, yes.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I only go through my 2.0s. Like, I look at them every week, but I only really deep dive into them probably every 6 weeks. Like, I just don't do it very often because I've been doing this for 20 years. Like, you just don't need to. But those 1.0s, you have to do every week.
Yes. And I started doing,
stay up on it.
I started to do the Sunday basket club at 4 or 5 o'clock. I can't remember what time. That really was great too. Before I read the book, I didn't understand. I would go into that and I didn't always understand the questions, or I didn't always understand what they were saying. I couldn't relate the way I could after I read the book.
Oh, interesting. All right. Well, I'm going to have to check that out. So you mentioned that your mom was living with you.
So my mom, who lives in Florida, moved in with us I found you in late summer. So she moved in right after that because she would go for the rides with me and I'd make her listen to the podcast. Yes. And she was treated and she stayed with us till the July of 2020.
And she's doing well?
She's doing great.
Okay. How'd she like the podcasts?
She liked them, but I don't think she really was all about it because she, you know, she had her own things going on. But while she was living with us, I got and the pandemic happened, you had given away those free medical binder forms. So we filled out that for her. And so she certainly benefited from this program.
Oh, good. Well, what other than just the general pandemic, what else unexpected has happened in these couple of years that you've been getting organized?
Well, so here's something that's recent. So I told you we are sort of empty nesters because the kids are away. And so we decided to come to Florida for 5 weeks, which has been fantastic. But it's not something I could have done with as much ease as I did, because it was kind of a last minute decision. I certainly couldn't have done it with as much ease as I did if it was not for your program. And because I am in the middle of the 100 days right now, but I'm not home, I made sure that I got all the projects done that would take me through the day I get back.
Oh, wow. So you worked ahead.
I worked ahead. But this is the thing. It's really easy. I don't want to scare people. It's really easy to work ahead when you've done it one or two rounds, because you get to the point where if you're just not sure if you want to get rid of it or what to donate or donate it or whatever you want to do, by the time you do it three or four times, you look at the same thing and you're so sick of it that you're like, you know, I'm really not going to use this anymore. So someone can definitely use it or, you know, be better because I've gotten rid of it.
But that's exactly what I want. That's what I want you to do. Like, I would so much rather you see the same thing three, four, five times and go, oh my gosh, why have I not gotten rid of this yet? Instead of round one, I'm going to try to eliminate every single thing I don't possibly use and give up things that you're not really 100% sure that you want to give up. Because what I would happen with my clients is they would over declutter and then they would go to look for something and they would have given it away. And then they right. would start to even hold on to more things because, well, maybe I am going to really need that in the future. I'd rather you just like take the cream off the top and donate it, cream off the top and donate it until you get to the point where you're like, oh yeah, why I definitely am not going to need this thing versus, well, I'm not sure if I do, if I don't, if you're not sure if you do or you don't, keep right. it as long as you have the space and you're not moving, because it's so much easier to give away from that feeling of like, I definitely don't need this and it will bless someone else than, well, I guess I'd rather have the space. And it's just a different energy and it really helps things flow in and out much easier.
I completely agree. I'm far more conservative about what I get rid of until I know for sure that it's time to get rid of it. I think my husband would rather be the other way, but I definitely am more conservative about it. And I, you know, if there's something I'm really not sure, I put it in one spot. And then I make sure when I'm in that room, you know, I'm going through that spot with that in mind. I'm very mindful of, you know, I haven't used this in 6 months. I haven't used this in a year. I know I'm sentimentally attached to it. So maybe, you know, is this the time to get rid of it?
So you've been actively organizing for almost 3 years, at least.
I started the 100 day in January of 2020, but you know, I didn't really get to finish it because I felt like, because I'm kind of a rule follower, I felt like I wanted to do it the way you're supposed to do it, which mm-hmm. I have to tell people it really doesn't matter. So I had to jump from the kitchen right into the, you know, wherever I got next. Yes. My master closet is, that's the one I never want to touch. There's just a lot there and it's just one I don't want to touch. And I'm sentimentally attached to a lot of the clothing. So I always push that to the end, but yeah.
Well, is it a passion area of yours? Like, is it a passion project? Your clothes?
Yes. Yes.
And it's fine to keep them.
Yeah. But you know, some stuff doesn't fit and some stuff I'm very sentimentally attached to all of it because I love them. I have things that they're like my friends. I love them. And it's very hard to get rid of.
And you don't have any girls that you could be like, oh, I'm going to have her wear it. So it's kind of like, I think maybe if you had a daughter, you could get rid of some of the things because she would wear them or she would say
to you, it doesn't look good, get rid of it.
Yeah. She's like, mom, this is going, but you don't have that daughter. So you're like, no, I'm just going to keep it all.
Right. She'd say, what are you thinking with that one? But yes, I don't have a daughter. And my boys all say, oh, it looks nice. But they may not even be staring at you. Yeah, it looks good.
Right. Looks fine. Well, I mean, and either eventually you're going to do it or you're not. And who cares?
Right. That's the one area that is the hardest for me. When I go home, that I'm going to do a deep dive into that area.
Any other areas that you organized or ways that you use your house now that you wanted to share before we move on to the closing?
Well, so yes, there were a couple things that you really helped me with. I mean, I have a whole list of things I've learned from you, but there's a couple things that truly you helped me with. One is planning day, I love planning day because planning day, people used to say to me, my friend Lisa used to always say to me, so what about like in 2 weeks? And I'd say, I'm not there yet. I can't think 2 weeks ahead. And planning day made me think about the future in a way that was very non-stressful, if that is a word or a thought. It would not be at all anxiety provoking because it was really just a getting the stuff out of your brain that could be. You said something during my first planning day, and I can't remember when it was, but it was during the pandemic, and you talked about how there was going to be a shortage of bicycles and swimming pools.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, she's so right. Like, that's crazy that we're, because remember, we were thinking day by day, and right. You went ahead. And ever since then, I don't know what it did inside my brain, but it made me really snap in. And I could then start to sort how I felt like planning, you know, my future or my next few months was going to be. And planning day was planning for a few months, and then it was for a year, you know, or it just got it out of here. Everything you've taught me has got it out of my brain enough to give my brain space.
I like that. So planning day is so interesting. I started planning day in December. I think I started for the 100-day program first and not the Friday workbox, but I started it in that January of 2020. And we went through the planner and I was just like, I love to plan. Like, I had a Franklin Covey planner that I got when I, you know, turned 22 as a Christmas present from my husband. And I was excited about it. Like, that's how much of a nerd I am. And I sat in front of the fire for hours and just like wrote everything in my new planner. And he's like, I don't even know. Like, this is your Christmas day activity. I'm like, I'm so happy. Like, I am so happy. You have no idea. And so I did that first planning days and like, here's how you plan. And here's how you like very time organization driven, ultra type A productive person planning day. People loved it. And then the second planning day we ever had was in May of 2020. And I was like, I can't do that kind of a planning day because time management isn't even a thing. Like, we aren't even leaving our houses yet. Like, our lives were so different after that very first planning day. And I was like, as a teacher, I'm just looking at the students and we're only planning for 120 days. So I'm planning for the summer and I'm a proactive person. And I know other people are not thinking as far ahead as I am. And this is before the supply chain was an issue. And I was like, there are going to be parents without childcare who do not have their house set up like a daycare. There are going to be like, I just, as a teacher and a mom, I knew that people were not prepared for the summer we were about to have. And so I switched planning day. And I will tell you, there were quite a few people who were not very happy with me because they did not have children. And I was very child focused in that planning day. And I was like, here's exactly how you're going to survive this summer. You're going to get to the next school year. Hopefully this won't be a thing by then, but this is how you're going to survive this next 4 months. And I remember saying the pools are probably going to be closed. So if you're used to going to a pool, you're not going to have a pool. So you need to go get an above ground pool. And like, your spouse may be like, no, it's going to kill the grass. And you're just going to say, we will replace the grass a year from now. Like, I was just having flashbacks to being a stay-at-home mom with kids without money, trying to entertain those kids all year. And then I was thinking, on top of that, a lot of these people are also going to be trying to work from home. And all I could see was chaos in my head. And I was like, how can I give these people a lifeline? They need stuff for kids because kids need novelty. Like, they cannot go with like, here are your three things for the entire summer. Like, they need a lot of entertainment. So I had a lot of pushback at the end of that planning day for people who did not have children and or thought the pandemic wasn't going to last any longer, or the pandemic for some reason had not affected their home life, or they just didn't want to be talking about it. Like, they just really wanted to be in denial. And they were like, this is not what I thought planning day was. We gave some people refunds. They were like, this isn't what I'm looking at. And then I felt bad because I was like, oh, maybe I should only be time organization oriented. And then I had people send in the emails and they said, after hour number one of planning day, which of course is 4 hours, they're like, I sent my husband to Walmart and he got the second to the last trampoline they had. Thank you so much. We got the whatever swimming pool. This one, like, they were literally sending their spouses out during planning day to get whatever was in the stores. And they were like, oh my gosh, you're right. They're about to run out of everything already. And no one was thinking the first week in May, what are we going to do in June, July, and August? And so there were a lot of people who were very, very grateful. And then when we did it in the fall, I did a blend of the two. But now I'm just like, you know, I always tell people to do what you're uniquely created to do. The thing I'm uniquely created to do is to see 4 months in advance. I can tell you what's going to happen in the next 4 months. I can kind of intuit. I cannot tell you 6 months from now. I literally walked into our senior director of operations the other day. I said, oh, and I'm recording this in February, February 16th. And on February 14th, I said, I know what we're going to do in July now. Like in the company, I had no idea what we're doing in the second half of the year until Monday. And I was like, I could see the next 6 months. I know exactly what we're doing. I know exactly the whole plan. This is what it's going to look like. But before that, I didn't. Like, I could see 4 to 8 months in advance, and that's it. Like, I can't tell you anything that's going to happen in 2023. Like, there has to be this kind of blend. And I really think that the way we see time, use our houses, work, interact with people, it has all changed during the pandemic. It's not going back.
Without a doubt. No, we just had this conversation last night at dinner about how companies have really been able to kind of flow with it. And right now that the box is open, will it all ever be only in office work? And, you know, my husband has his own business and he said, no, he said, you know, now that you've given people freedom and they've proven that they can do it, you can't really take that freedom away. So it'll be interesting to see how it works. I can say as a mother whose children live far away, I love that they come home and they work remotely for a few weeks at a time. And I get to get my little fill of, you know, having them around. It's my favorite time, you know, and they're working a lot.
Yeah. And you said, you know, you have your brain because you're organized and you have places and that your Sunday basket is your external brain. And we say that also. I think having the ability to have time to think and to be able to think about things that are important and that are in the near future are skill sets that we are going to need going forward. Because like you said, your husband's a business owner. I'm a business owner. We have in-office offices. I'm here every day of the week and I will be going forward because this is where I work best. Before the pandemic, I worked at home. Now I work in an office. We have people that work part in the office and part not in the office. And then we have remote staff that don't even live in Cincinnati. But I will tell you as a business owner, that is three different employees. Mm-hmm. And three, I mean, everything I do when I think about communication, how are you communicating with all three of those employees? All of our meetings are on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, because if you're in the office, those are the days you're in your office. And then we Zoom in the people that are not in the office. And then the expense doesn't go down because now you're equipping home offices and regular offices. And it's not a bad thing. It's just different. And it's a different way of thinking about it. And it's a different way of running your business financially. Because now all the articles have come out about how, okay, you have people who want to work at home and want to work in the office. Well, you want everyone in the office on certain days so you could do some collaboration together, which means that you need just as big of offices as you would if everyone was working in office all the time. So you're not saving, the company is not saving any money. And the company is spending even more money on communications and different tech packages and organizing all of those meetings on certain days instead of just being able to spontaneously do a meeting. It's not good or bad. It's just different. And it's taking a lot of mental resources because that's just what's happening inside of your company. Then there is what's happening inside of your state, what's happening inside of your industry. What about the other industries that impact your industry? What about technology? What about, like, you know, and on and on and on and on and on. And there are just all these layers for business owners that, you know, in 2019, there were a couple of things that you really kept your eye on. And then when those things were in line, you knew you were good to go. Now you don't even know what you're supposed to be looking at because it's coming around the bend. It's going to hit you in the face. You're like, okay, we'll add that into the soup of all these things that we're doing.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. Your program has made it so that I am far more flexible with whatever happens.
Yep.
I am far less reactive because there is a piece that may not have been there before. I always felt like I was the hamster on the wheel. And
yes,
no matter what I did, I couldn't get ahead. And I mean, it seems so silly. I mean, I don't work outside the home and my children are older. So if I felt like this, you know, people with younger kids who are very limited in their time at home, I mean, it's, this program has been so good to just make it manageable. everything just is manageable. And because of it, I am far more flexible than I ever was and far less anxious.
I love that flexible, not reactive, because you always think like, if you go with the flow, well, you're just reacting to life. Like you either can have a plan or not have a plan, but I love that you can have a plan, but still be flexible. You're flexible, but you're not reactive. So you're proactive, but you're also flexible in how that actually comes to be. That's right. That's really a great way to work. Well, and that, Lori.
I mean, not for anything, but it sounds so silly because all your Band-Aids are in a place, you know, yes. Your life is better, but it really is.
It really is.
It's just, I'm not really sure why, but what you've done is just, it's been a life changer for me. So thank you.
Well, thank you. What do you think you have more of now?
Oh, I made a whole list of things I have more of now. I have more peace. I am happier. I am easier to be around, without a doubt. I have more focus. I am more mindful and I can be in the present when I want to be in the present because I couldn't before. There was always more to do. I am certainly more in the moment.
I am that way as well. It's so fun, isn't it? Like we're having this conversation today and I'm not thinking about anything else. It's so fun to get to enjoy people, like really, truly enjoy people without worrying about what's next or what else has to be done. And I never used to be that way before.
I'm a better listener to my children now that I am in a better place in our home. Our home has become a place that I love even more. I mean, I always liked our home. I felt like that was important. But for a long time, I was always like, oh, we need a different house. I mean, we moved a lot of times. And we need a different house because we had so much more space with stuff. But really, if everything is organized, you love where you live. I love where I live now.
That's great. What do you think you have less of?
Oh, stuff. I have less worry. Mm-hmm. I worried about everything and I have far less anxiety. And this is going to sound bad, but I have less angst, if you can understand what that means. I was always very, I have less angst. I'm happy. It is a much better life.
Has your spouse noticed anything?
He notices that I'm happier. he notices that there's less stuff. I think there's still more things than he would like. He notices that I spend less, but because I know where the Band-Aids are, because I know where the Tylenol is, I don't have to, oh, we're out because I got it all from all the spots. No, I think he is just happier that I'm happier.
And I'm sure he was happy that you were able to be like, yeah, I can go to Florida for 5 weeks.
Yeah. This has been a great experience. We've had a lot of fun.
That's so awesome.
It really is.
Is there anything you wish you had known sooner?
Oh, I wish I knew about the Sunday basket sooner. And I wish I had figured it out sooner. You know, I think I tried to make it harder than it was. The Sunday basket was great and planning day was great. I wish I knew about those 5 years ago. Did you have them 5 years ago?
I had the Sunday basket, but I did not have planning day.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I wish I knew about the Sunday basket when my kids were younger.
The Sunday basket, without the Sunday basket, every time that I have personally gotten organized and not done the Sunday basket, I don't make it very far, which is why I know everybody needs the Sunday basket first. Mm-hmm. Organization is just like a project I love to do.
Right.
And so I love to do organization and I would reorganize things that were already organized. But planning day is the thing that I think I'm uniquely created to do. It's the last thing that I created. But I think that is the piece that truly takes this extra time that you have and mental clarity and freedom. Then you get to decide what you want to do with it going forward. Like I could walk you through how to organize your house. Give me a little bit of time. I'll give you that. And then you can figure out what you're uniquely created to do. But then you need to learn how to take that time and then take your uniqueness and stair step it into how to achieve that goal. And that is planning day. And so planning day, I'm just kind of a conduit for people to get their next 4 months organized. And then it is amazing what people do with that 4 months. It's amazing.
Oh, I can't get over how much more I accomplish now that I do planning day. And planning was something I told you I avoided. I put my hand up and say, I'm not there yet. But planning day, just because, you know, that brain dump, you just write down all the things that you think you might end up doing. And if you do it, you do it. If you don't, you don't. Where that is a big step for me. I used to be like, I got to do it. I got to do it. You know, my life was about trying to do everything perfectly. And your program has taught me that it doesn't have to be perfect because you covered it. It doesn't have to be perfect, right? Progress over perfection.
Did you used to have a lot of to-do lists?
Oh, and they were everywhere. They weren't in just one spot. They were everywhere. Yeah. And
do you still have them?
No. If I know, I go through Sunday, I write on the card. What's been great about this trip is before, you know, I did however many days I had to do before we left. And if there were things that I wanted to remember when I got back, I just put it on an index card and I shoved it in the basket. So I don't even have to think about it while I'm gone. I know it's in the basket.
And I still make lists, like I'm leaving for Nashville after this recording. So I have like this little list, like don't forget the charger for your watch. Don't forget your fancy curling iron, blah, blah, blah. So I do have little lists, but like I packed the car and now I'm at work and that list is thrown away. Like I don't have any lists in front of me. I don't have any unfinished lists. I have my Friday work box and I have my Sunday basket. So I have work and things to do, but not like this list that I have to get through by the end of the day or that I'm constantly working on.
Nope. When I was packing, for 5 weeks, because I've never been gone that long, I had a slash pocket and I would write something down and throw it in the slash pocket. You know, anything I need for packing.
I think I need to figure out how to articulate to people who are still using lists that there's a possibility of not using lists, but it just seems like that's never going to happen.
No. I take notes and I'll write notes about things I want to remember. And the notes go in my, you know, my slash pocket is my new list, you know, so
and there's no urgency or you don't need to review all of the work all of the time. It's just waiting for when you're ready for it.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's really, I mean, everything that you've taught us, I mean, I really do have a whole list of all the things I learned from you. Here it is. It's great. Like the whole don't buy the containers before you figure out really, because I mean, I would go to the store and spend all that money. But the 24-hour rule was a great rule too.
People what that is.
So the 24-hour rule for you, it was always if you had a project that you wanted to start, you wouldn't buy the things unless you knew you could start it in 24 hours, right? Yes. For me, I don't buy anything. Once I decide I want something, like Amazon is great for this. I do not spend the money on it or buy it unless I wait 24 hours. You know, I'm a big reader. I want to make sure I don't buy the book unless I know for sure I'm going to do it. I give myself 24 hours to kind of make the decision. So I'm less impulsive. The index cards are great. I love the index cards, the Sunday basket. You know, it took me a long time to figure out actionable papers. Like I think the words didn't absorb the way you intended them. And I think that's what threw me off. But, you know, your actionable papers are your things that you have to get done. Yeah. I just had to use a different word for it to work for me. The task stacking. Task stacking has been great. Before I felt like I walked around the house in circles. And now everything has a purpose. You know, the whole throwing the lawn, letting the machines work for you.
Yes.
It's just, it's great. And sometimes, honestly, if I have to run the dishwasher twice because I didn't feel like emptying it, I do. The planning day was a game changer. Oh, using rooms for other purposes. This was the other thing. So I have a couple rooms in my house that I totally did not make them those rooms anymore. Like our dining room, we weren't using it. I took the dining room table out. I put a couple chairs in. And during the pandemic, you know, I have two older boys that are over 21 and we now call it the cocktail lounge. Because it was where we would come together. There's no TV. And it was where we would come together at the end of the day. And we still do. And make it, you know, a place where we just talk. So it's great. Yeah. Like my desk became a coffee bar. And I moved my desk. Now my desk is in a back room that my mother had used when she was sick, because it's on the main floor. And then Sean used it as we called it the Zoom room. So when he was in full-time school there, because it was all remote, one of the boys used it as an office. And now I use it as an office. And I actually purchased a Murphy bed, and the Murphy bed, so it can be both.
So tell me about the coffee bar. So your desk, you just turned it, like you put the Keurig there or whatever coffee makers you
have? Yeah, so we're big coffee drinkers. So I have an espresso, I have a Keurig, and then I have a regular coffee maker. And we do have a lot of tea, and then the Aerochino. So it's like the frothing machine and the electric kettle, like it's all there, and I'll put snacks there. And that's where you get your beverages.
What I love about that in the lounge that you created is so often when you are looking at organizing your house, almost everything is like, how do you take a house and incorporate children in it? So like having a lunch packing station and a snack station and a playroom and things like that, which are definitely necessary. But as my kids are getting older and they come over and they're adults, like how do you have in a house with multiple adults in it that's really fun? Like I can imagine what your cocktail lounge is like and like the coffee bar. How fun is that? You know, like Christmas this year, we had a bunch of different coffees out, like set up a coffee bar. You know, if you're having a party in the evening, often you have an area where you have the wine and all of that kind of stuff. Why not when you're having your family over for the weekend or, for the holidays, set up a full coffee, hot chocolate. Like we did the hot chocolate, we did the coffee, we did the tea, we did all of those fun drinks that are non-alcoholic. You could do that too.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was great. And then it's self-serve. People took care of themselves.
Yeah.
So which gives you a little, as the person in charge of stocking the coffee bar, it gives you, freedom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very fun.
So yeah, it's been great. So I cannot thank you enough. Your program really was life-changing for me. And if I could leave anyone with anything, it's do not start organizing in your kids' room, because you'll just end up doing it a few weeks later.
Did the kids' rooms ever get organized?
Oh, yeah. 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 And, you know, now that the rest of the house is done, it's easy to just go in and I empty the shelves. I fold everything back up again. Well, and remember, they're not there a lot, you know.
Right.
But it's way easier than it was in the beginning.
Yeah. Lori, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast.
Oh, Lisa, thank you. It was truly my pleasure to finally get to meet you and have this conversation. And even though I was so nervous, you made it so easy. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.